Because this haircut, like,
I did
I
change it
didn't.
up a little bit. My bad. I'm sorry.
Should have warned us.
It was more of a whim than anything else because I was getting an oil change yesterday.
And so then you
decided
to drive
like,
all
hey,
the way up to Scottsdale
mechanic.
And get your haircut?
First off, North Phoenix. Because that's technically where it's at. But the night before, I was like, oh, you know what? Might as well just get a haircut tomorrow. Texted Jody.
Sound
like,
much of a whim.
I mean, usually
I
plan
it's
like
in the future. It's not much of a whim.
Well, I mean, I couldn't do it then because it was like 10:30 at night. So I was like, well, the next best thing is tomorrow. So I went and got a haircut.
Fair enough.
And it turned out like this.
It's very good.
Thank you.
So it'll be another year before you get another haircut?
It hasn't been a year.
Hasn't it been?
No. It's been 6 months. Because I got this haircut before we went to San Diego.
That's true.
And that was in August. In Disneyland, technically. Mike, they're coming for you. Speaking of coming for you, comes naturally. We are
Joe,
Mike.
I'm Cody. Got him. You see, Netflix is doing a ice skating TV show.
Wait, like a show about ice skating?
Yeah, it's like
a show that
so you know,
is ice skating. Like,
so remember
it's like on ice? But
yeah,
it's
the whole
show
is filmed on ice. Like they have camp. No,
oh, like Disney on ice.
Yes.
Yeah, but like it's a show that has nothing to do with being on ice, filmed on ice. No, so it's about ice skaters. When I first saw it, I was like, oh, they're doing like a cutting edge, like, you know, type
it's funny
show.
You said ice skating. That was the first thing I was like, oh, it's a cutting edge TV show.
Well,
sure, there's other stories they could tell about ice
name
skating.
One.
Mighty Ducks.
It's not about ice skating.
I mean,
it's about ice hockey.
They still
they
skate
on
true.
Ice.
So
that's why it was my second choice.
Their choice is Miracle,
which is,
yeah.
I mean,
also a hockey movie.
Yeah. But it's very Black Swanish, in a way.
Okay.
I don't think there's any like her thinking he's turning into a swan.
She dies at the end.
Looks like she could be very bad in shape, or she's gonna kill someone.
Ooh.
Yeah. But it's like it seems like a high drama, and I was like, well, that's not what I expected. I should have, because, like, when it starts off, it's very moody, and I was like, oh. I thought, like, oh, sweet, cutting-edge TV show, I'm going to love it. Then I saw this, I was like, I'm not going to watch this. I'm not going to watch this at all. I can't do it. I have the Mike syndrome. It's hard for me to watch dramas, because it just makes me feel bad. Especially if they're really well done, which is, like, dumb, you know? It's like, if it's really well done, you should enjoy it.
Yes.
But it's like, it's so...
Well done.
Well done that you feel bad.
You feel
like
a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, well,
that's why
I'm going to skip that.
Yeah, I don't watch any drama TV shows anymore. And then, like, even drama movies, I'm like, all right, well, how long is it?
How long do I feel depressed for?
Exactly. So, speaking of depressed, just kidding, I had nothing to transition to that.
Which is weird because usually you just go for it anyway.
Yeah, I was trying to better myself this time. I was going to say, what about those trailers this week? But then it's like...
It sounds like the trailers made you depressed.
Yeah, I was like, that's not going to work out
yeah,
well.
It didn't really work out.
That would have been a transition if they made me depressed.
So what trailers did we see this week? And we got Ghostbusters, we got
Ghostbusters Afterlife, we got Wonder Woman 84,
yep.
Or WW 84, which I thought was like a weird title because it sounds like World War 84, but then like... Really not, I guess. But anyways,
yeah.
The newest Six Underground trailer.
Right, the only one I've seen so far. But yeah.
Was there something else?
There was also Free Guy.
Oh, Mulan, Free and Free Guy.
Mulan. I swear there actually was one more too.
I sent you a bunch.
Yeah.
Can I pull that up somehow easily on this weird fangled device of ours?
Your phone.
Yeah.
That weird fingled device?
Let's
just start talking about them. Which one do you want to talk about first?
Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters Afterlife.
Afterlife.
It's about kids.
Oh, the boys.
In a small town.
Oh, I don't think you posted
it. I posted
that one.
Yeah.
Did you? I didn't see it.
Or you posted it. I tried, but the link was dead. And then you sent it the next morning.
Gotcha.
Sorry, go ahead, Mike.
That's it.
What'd you say?
It's about kids in a small town.
Did you like it or not, though?
Nah, not really.
You didn't like the trailer?
No. He doesn't like kids, remember?
It's not even that. It just feels... Look, I'm excited to see...
Take the kids out of the equation and talk about the rest of the trailer. Did you like it?
Well, it's not even the kids. It's... That's the issue. It's weird seeing that, like, it from the first trailer, it looks like it's going to be about a group of kids. And it feels Stranger Things-ish to me.
Well, I mean, it does have...
Well, not only because of that, but it's, like, the small town, and, like, they even did a Ghostbusters thing in Stranger Things, and it's, like, a group of kids coming together. I'm like, I don't know. Seems weird. I feel like we've had a lot of movies, and we've only had, like, two. But I think of It, and I think of Stranger Things, and then I see this, and I'm like, why is this a weird reoccurring theme that's happening?
I will totally agree with you on that. That aspect, watching the trailer, even myself, like, because it has the one kid from Stranger Things, who's a fantastic actor. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with him.
Well. It's just that when I watched the trailer, like, I was gung ho about watching this thing, and it looks awesome. It looks fantastic. It looks like it's going to be funny, but a little bit dark. And we already know that the whole what's left of the Ghostbusters cast will be coming back to reprise their roles. So it looks like it'll be awesome. But for some reason, especially with this trailer, I came away going, "Huh? Do I really need like a reboot where it's a bunch of kids that take over, or not really a reboot, but?" Where a bunch of kids take over the mantle. It's like, I can accept maybe like 20-somethings, but these really feel like...
Well, when they cast Paul Rudd, I was all like, he's going to be like the leader of the new Ghostbusters. And then you see him, he's like the teacher of the kids. It's like...
He could be the leader of the
Ghostbusters. Like, you got a long way to go in this first movie already if like this trailer's any indication of what the movie's going to look like. But also, is it... I watched the trailer like 5 times because when I first saw it, I was like, I don't like this. I was like, that's not right. I like Ghostbusters.
I haven't watched this enough. Four more times.
So when I watched it. I watched it right when I got off work that day. I sat in my car and I watched it. And I was like, weird. I watched it one more time. I was like, all right, I text you guys. And then I drove home and I watched it on my TV. And I was like, I don't like this. It's weird. But one of the weird things too is like seeing it in this small town setting. Like it's not, it's supposed to be current time. So like this small old town makes it feel like it's way back. Set in a different time, which is like weird, but it's like also one of the coolest parts about the original Ghostbusters is like New York. Right. Like being in the city.
Because New York was a character in it.
Yeah, like very much so. And it's like, I just think when you think of like Ghostbusters backdrop, I don't think fields and barns and you know what I mean? It makes it less Ghostbustery and more, again, Stranger Things. Like those are the vibes I was getting.
Yeah.
And it, again, the kids were part of it, but it was also the backdrop looked very weird. And it's also, again, it's not set in a different time, but so many movies are doing like in the 80s, in the 90s, in the, you know what I mean? I'm like, this feels like it's doing that without
doing it.
And I'm like, it's just weird to me. And like, I miss seeing the city as the backdrop for it. The part that was cool is when like Ecto-1 comes blazing around that corner and they're shooting the blasters at Slammer.
You see the gunner seat out?
Yeah. Like, that's dope. But like, how dope would that have been in New York? You know what I mean? Like just cruising around like fucking Times Square. Like, because that's just what I think about when I think.
We know that's an homage to a scene they were trying to make in the original Ghostbusters.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, but I'm just saying, like, the scene looks cool. It would have looked cooler, well, I think, in a doper background. But yeah, to be fair, though, the good things about it is, I mean, you see Slimer, which is great for...
Which I don't know if it was actually Slimer, because he looked blue.
You see, whatever.
I saw green. Yeah.
Maybe it's mine.
Maybe you're going weird.
You are getting gray hairs.
Slimer-type character.
Collar for men over here. Jesus Christ.
And then, and like, there's obviously like Ecto-1 was super cool, you know, when they pull the cover off of it and you see the license plate, you're like, oh shit. And it's going through the field. You can see it and actually driving. It's pretty dope. Yeah, again, it's just a teaser. It's the first trailer, and we're so far away from this movie coming out.
International that trailer dropped today, too.
For
actually dropped or will
the it? International trailer dropped
earlier. Oh, international.
Yeah. It's got new footage in it. Looks like they're actually standing using Procon packs in it.
The kids are?
Yeah. Well, that's... they're waiting for the reveal of the original cast, I'm guessing, for either the full-length trailer or maybe even the movie.
The last. It should be the last official trailer. You know, a lot of people... I mean, that'll turn people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If Bill Murray fucking straps on and, like, is in his old uniform, like, you're going to see that movie.
Right.
You know what I mean? But, yeah, I don't know. It's just, there's some cool things about it, but it's just 100% not what I was expecting or hoping for, which is not their fault. You know what I mean? Like, they don't have to make the movie that I had in my head.
Right.
And I'm going to see the movie pretty much no matter what, unless, like, the next couple trailers are Kid Ghostbusters. I'm going to be like, I'm going to see it, but I'm not going to fucking be excited about it. Those are my feelings. The end.
The end.
Joseph?
No, I thoroughly enjoyed this trailer, I think, from the get-go, especially just following the small story that they set out, you know, that apparently after the events of Ghostbusters 2, there haven't been any ghost sightings. And I take that as like worldwide in 30 years.
And so yeah, and that's what they kind of alluded to.
So that's what I'm getting. So either the Ghostbusters put themselves out of business by getting rid of all the ghosts, or whatever the events, you know, the events of after 2 just kind of sucked everything dry. And there's no more ghosts throughout the whole entire world.
In the description here, not to cut you off, they did mention the Manhattan cross rip of 84, mm-hmm. which means they may not delve into the events of 2.
Which was weird because, they say 30 years prior, and they make mention of they show the video of the Ghostbusters coming through the streets, and that's obviously Zool. That's when they fight Zool.
Yeah.
So I was a little bit confused of, you know, the events of 2, does that take place? I still think it probably does, but the rift is probably, if that's what they're talking about then, well, that's definitely what they're talking about then. And then, you know, was there pretty much no ghost seen after that point? And Viggo just a one-off type thing? I don't know. But you're setting that up, and so that's really cool. So it sounds like, you know, the Ghostbusters kind of went their own ways because there was nothing left to do or something like that. So Egon, or just after the events, you know, they got pretty much shamed, you know, and they had to go into hiding. So Egon picked a place where no one would really find him.
No.
Where is this? It almost looks like Arizona or something like that.
It's Oklahoma.
Oklahoma? Okay.
Takes place in Somerville, Oklahoma.
Somerville, Oklahoma.
According to the description I'm reading on Wikipedia.
I didn't read the description. I was just going off of the... I was like, it's a very desolate place.
I didn't know there was a description until I looked it up because I want to see if there's any other known names.
What's the creature that jumped up on the hood where you just see the...
That was one of the dogs.
That's what I... Just because of the noise, but I was like, ooh. Yeah. Like, that was one of the coolest parts of the trailer.
When it hit and you see the paw and you hear the noise, and I was like...
That was the growl, yeah.
That was one of the dogs from the first Ghostbusters. I was like, oh my God.
Which makes me think it might have possessed somebody.
Yeah.
Because that's how it took corporeal form, mm-hmm. or outside corporeal form, and actually took physical form.
And then it possessed somebody, and then, it was.
Yeah.
You're right.
Because it took the statue. It came out of the statue.
And then it went into both the...
Dana and Tully.
Tully, that's what his name was, yeah. So the lore that they're putting out within this trailer is absolutely interesting and cool to me. And the fact that even the kids don't know who their grandfather is, you know, it's kind of seems like he was shunned, you know, because even in the original Ghostbusters movie, there was talk about them being just fraudsters. They were just tricksters, you know, to gain money. So it almost seems like they're kind of still traveling down that road, even though even though the Ghostbusters, you know, for what we see is actually real, the public opinion is that they're just a bunch of fraudsters.
Yeah.
And that there's no such things as ghosts and the ghost traps and whatnot.
You can see that, too, because, like, in the originals, like, they basically got New York on their side by the end. But in, like, you could see how, like, on a national or, like, a world view, people would still be like, that's bullshit.
That's bullshit, you know? Yeah. So to fast forward 30 years, obviously, the real actor who played Spangler has passed away. And so his character is obviously gone. But it seems like he kept most of the Ghostbusters equipment and stuff. He just hid it away. And so whatever's happening in this town, I almost believe it's probably because of him.
Yeah. I think he has the containment unit down that mine shaft.
Which that's is what it seems sense. Like. Yeah.
Yeah. And something's going awry and letting the ghosts out, which would explain why Slimer is there, because Slimer was the first ghost captured by them and put into the containment unit. It wouldn't really explain why Zool might be there, because the dogs kind of go along with Zool. But then again, if the containment unit ruptures in such a way that it causes another rift,
yeah,
could probably bring it can back come through. Over.
Yep.
So everything about this movie, the setting, the look, the feel of it is absolutely phenomenal for me. I think that I will 100% enjoy this movie. My only concern about it is just that it seems like you are jumping too young for the Ghostbusters.
Yeah. For them to be a team.
For them to be a team.
Yeah.
That's the only
And they totally couldn't be. Like, they could not be, too. Like, this trailer is...
Right, and that's
just giving you little snippets. So.
It just feels like that. Like you said earlier, you put Paul Rudd in there. You bring in maybe a couple of other older people. Like I said, you can even do like a 20s, you know, early 20s or something like that, mid 20s, like a group of people that are training. Because all I'm saying is that, like, you could have aged these kids up a bit, and I would have been perfectly fine. But it's for some reason, it's that they feel like they're younger teens. That it feels a little weird because it feels like what Mike said is that we've already gotten movies like this. Why do we need more movies like this?
I get you.
That's it. You know, this could have easily been the same actors, or well, not same actors, but same characters, aged up 10 years and been like, I'm just trying to figure out who my grandfather was.
Yeah, like if they were in their early to mid 20s and they, you know, were evicted out of their apartment, whatever, and the only thing they had left over was this farmhouse that their grandfather
left them. It works so far within what we know of the trailer. It works the exact same.
Yeah, if they were going to be a team,
a team, right? So that's my only odd feeling about it. It's not so much of a concern because as soon as I sit down and watch this, I'm just going to be like, oh, this is awesome. I love this. Paul Rudd is hilarious. You know,
and timeless,
exactly. Literally, fucking does not age. Goddamn, vampire or Julian Gray,
Dorian Gray.
Dorian Gray, not that Gray, Mike. You weirdo.
Mike loves 50 Shades of Gray.
Nope, I love League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. It's Sean Connery's finest work.
Yeah. or like Disenchantment, 50 Shades of Earl Gray.
Yeah, there you go.
Made me laugh too.
Isn't that a tea?
Yeah.
But yeah, that's my review of this trailer.
Cody. Right. I had high hopes because of the team behind it.
Because it's what's his name? It's Reitman's kid. It's wrote and directed.
So yeah, so it's Jason Reitman. Actor's
kid. Or yeah,
actually, actor's coming back. He both wrote it or co-wrote it, and he's directing it. So he's kind of stepping into his dad's legacy. And the fact they got five survive. Well, Rick Moranis is the only one that isn't signed up to come back, but he's kind of retired from acting.
Yeah,
so
he went back to a long time ago.
Yeah. So. Even though he might be coming back for that Disney's reboot of Honey, I Shrunk the Kid, the TV show. Yeah. Huh. He's interested in seeing what they're doing with it.
He's always been weird. I deep dived on him a couple years ago because I was like, what the fuck happened to him? Like, he started making music, like weird music, and like won Grammys and stuff for whatever weird category he was in. But his wife died.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so he was like, well, I can't go be an actor. I got to be at home with my kids. And then, like, but he he's even gone in public. He's like, I never said I retired. He's like, just eventually after me saying no so long, people stop offering me stuff. Yeah. He's like, which is fine. But he's like, I'm not necessarily done acting. I'm like, I think people just forgot about him. But yeah.
So, and then they got Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, Ernie Hudson, Sigourney Weaver, and Annie Potts all to sign on. In what capacity? We don't know. In my dream, Annie Potts is their grandmother.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it totally makes sense.
And obviously, like I would like to see the other four come back. And like you end up finding out that they're because we don't know their last name yet. We don't know if it's Spangler. We don't know if it was changed because we don't know if this is
highly implied that it was Spangler.
Well, that when he turns the the little girl when she Callie, I believe her name is.
But yeah,
she pushes the uniforms aside. You can see Spangler on there.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering because at the end two, and again, if two happened, which a lot of people think isn't a thing because. Two was not received as well.
I think you'd still throw it in there as a one-off.
But weren't in two, and I have to rewatch. I mean, it's been a few years since I've seen it, but at the end of two, weren't Annie and Tully kind of like a thing, right?
Yeah.
So, like, I wonder if this is their family. Hmm. And because of Spangler's past, he wanted to put it somewhere where it's not tied to him. And so he puts it in a farmhouse that Tully's family owned. I'm just saying it could be that. But I think it's Spangler's family. And Annie Potts just happens to be Annie Potts. She's not to be anything with that family.
Thinking about that, wasn't there a house that they put on loan at the beginning of the first one?
Well, that was Dan. That was owned by Ackles,
but where was that?
We don't know. We think it's the house he lives in New York. Or at least his family home. It could be that one, too.
It was his parents' home, right?
Might have been, yeah.
Something like that.
Interesting. Yeah, so it could be, yeah.
That'd be weird.
But yeah, I still think it's because they mentioned the grandfather and he's passed away, left him the inheritance. I think it's Spangler's. Right. I just don't know. I don't know how Annie fits in other than just being one of the original cast members, which is cool that she's coming back, but... I would like to see the last three Ghostbusters suited up.
Definitely.
But I would also like to see Dana suited up.
I think it's a possibility.
Because if not, you'd have to, it would be cool to see Dana, you know, Sigourney Weaver.
Why else would she be in it? Or just be like, hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver playing Dana.
Imagine how dope the end of the trailer would have been if, like, it was like Aykroyd and Sigourney Weaver at the end and they said something like, do you know where to find them? She goes, yeah, I can get them. You know what I mean? Like, just something like that. You're like, hey, they're there. You know what I mean? It would have, like, amped up the interest a whole lot more.
Yeah. So it's interesting to see what they're doing. But I love the aesthetic of it. It looks really cool. Being so, I don't want to say far out, but I mean, it's literally 6 months away. Well, 8 months away, technically, right?
Well, it's touted as July 2020.
It's July. So... July 10th. Oh, that's weird. So they released the trailer on the 10th, right? No, they released the trailer on the 9th.
No, it was released yesterday.
Was it yesterday?
Yeah, yesterday was the
10th. I can't remember. I've been doing a lot of drinking.
Monday.
It was released on Monday, right?
Monday. Yeah, it was the 9th.
Yeah, so I would say that would have been fortuitous because if it's July 10th, that would have put it 8 months out directly, but whatever. Yeah. But yeah, I like the look of it. I like the lore building they're doing with it, like you were saying. I like the fact that like, you're not starting over. Mm-mm. You're continuing the legacy because you're giving credence to what did happen. I mean, at least in 84, because that's the most televised thing we know it was televised.
I like how they called it. It was like The Walking Dead.
Yeah, he said The Walking Dead. Yeah, it's hilarious. Yeah. I like the fact because I think the reason they're using more of the 84 from Ghostbusters 1 is because that was more televised
yes.
than what we know of 2 was. Because 2 was...
all happened in the museum.
Well, it happened around the museum too, because there's all the people around it.
Right, Statue of Liberty, Statue Liberty like, walked up.
Everything that they did outside the Statue of Liberty, obviously.
Yeah.
Inside the museum.
Yeah, and you just because even in the second one, you saw less news footage of it, mainly because it was at that time. It's nothing. I mean, it's New York, but it's also nothing new. Mm-hmm. So they're like, whatever, right? But those events also happened very quickly in the second one
because
it was all one night where this was drawn out because they were new. These things were happening, and then like it didn't just like start and end that day. And so there was a lot of news media. So I guess that's kind of why they kind of picked that one. And that'd be the most known thing because –
Plus a giant Stay Puft Marshmallow Man
walking
through New York.
Yeah, and like, yes, the Statue of Liberty walked to the city, but – we didn't have cell phones at the time, and like camcorders weren't something people walked around with because they were the size of like phone books.
Yeah.
So like, there's less of that, I'm guessing, out there. But yeah, it's cool to see like they use the OG footage of it and things like that. And he pulls it up on YouTube, which I thought was hilarious. It's kind of like it. That's the thing where like if this was the real world and that was something that happened in '84, that would be something you could find archive footage on YouTube nowadays. You know what I mean? Like you go back and you could look at, you know, events that happened in the 80s as news clips on YouTube now. So it's very fitting that way. But yeah, I like the one scene I really liked is when Callie discovers, I don't understand the whole puzzle thing on the floor.
Yeah, that was a little weird.
Because you only see like, oh, she solves it, but like clearly she was looking for something. Like either she moved something and like a piece of tile or the board moved,
it's
whatever it was.
One of those tile things where he's like, you just have to match things up.
Yeah, so like that was interesting, and probably hopefully they'll talk more about that, like how she found it, and versus just like, oh, these looks like they can move, like whatever. But when she slid down the fireman's pole, and I was like,
right,
oh,
yeah,
he literally hid everything here.
Yeah,
and I'm wondering why Ecto-1 still runs 30 years later. Which makes me think,
really well taken ghost care powered. Of ghost well, powered.
I'm thinking someone's been maintaining it, and it was. And we don't know in this timeline when Egon passed away,
right?
So I don't know how long they've had the farmhouse, like in inheritance. Clearly, we're probably not going to see him pass away in this movie.
God,
we fucked because, like, you know,
the first scene, and he just like rosebuds it and just
rosebuds it, rosebud. It's a fucking wagon. Sorry. Or sled. Wagon was the.
It just says Ecto-1, and then a snow globe just goes rolling out of his hand.
So I think my thing would be that Ray Stance, Dan Aykroyd's character, has been maintaining it because you remember from the first movie, it was kind of his baby.
Yeah.
Like, he was so excited when he got it.
Yeah.
And, like, he put all that work into it. So I'm wondering if he's been maintaining it with, like, going back and kind of, like, you know.
Just a kind of an annual trip
that
he does to.
But I think also, and this plays into it, he's the one that's supposed to be maintaining the containment unit.
Makes sense.
And something happens where he doesn't go back and, well.
It ruptures.
It's no longer containing. But, again, hypothesis-ness. And at this point, who knows? I can make up all the shit I want. I will, just for shits and giggles, I don't think I've ever actually sent it to you guys either. I can send you guys my original plot for Ghostbusters 3 that I wrote years ago. It was based around, their kids, creating basically being the legacy of the Ghostbusters and like turning into a reality TV show.
Okay.
And it's funny because what you say about this is like maybe after the events of 1 and 2, there were no real big ghost events.
Mm-hmm.
Because we all know the events, all the ghosts that happened in the first movie were because that cross rift was happening.
Yeah.
Because of the anniversary of Gozer and all that fun stuff, right? And my whole thing was that it was very something similar. But there's been this lack of ghosts, so they started making stuff up a la reality show style, where they started using digital effects post things, and they were just acting on it, and they were exposed, and say they were exposed as frauds, and it was shut down. And then all of a sudden, ghosts starting appearing from a barge off the coast of New York, and it basically turned into like this like ghost island that was moving towards New York. And then they basically had to prove themselves. They go there, they disappear. And so the original Ghostbusters had to basically suit back up, and they're being old and fat and going to rescue their kids. That was the whole thing of it.
Interesting.
But I'll send it to you guys.
Okay.
So you guys can read it. It's just I'll just send you the synopsis. I won't send you the whole fucking thing because it's okay. stupidly long and dumb. But I'll send you the synopsis I have written up. But yeah, so that's Ghostbusters Afterlife. Thoroughly impressed by the trailer.
Yep.
Next up, Wonder Woman 84.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts, Michael?
This trailer looked like shit.
Yeah. Okay. But it's my thoughts too.
I will ask: did it look like shit because it was an 80s style trailer, or did it look like shit because you didn't like?
Nah, because it was an 80s style trailer. Which
that wasn't my problem.
I didn't like it because it was super colorful, and it was like the weird music, and I knew what they were trying to do. Like, it was an artistic choice, and I know the movie's not gonna feel like a fucking infomercial that you saw like late night in the 80s.
The trailer was very much like I'm sitting there waiting for like those scan lines to go through.
Yeah.
Type of.
Yeah. But there's a lot going on, a lot of nonsense going on. But it was just. At least with like Wonder Woman, like you have the benefit of knowing what the first one was and enjoying the first one, and the first one was good. And I remember the trailers for the first one were pretty horseshit too.
The first teaser I actually liked a lot.
Well, the first teaser was super vague though.
Yeah,
and it was just like kind of cool he shot, but like the actual trailers, I was like, oh, this might be rough. But like Wonder Woman has been the best part of the DC movies consistently. So I have no issues, and I really love the casting in it. I just didn't like this trailer, but I didn't like the theme or vibe of the trailer. But like everything else is like, I just saw people complaining. They're like, "How is Chris Pine's character there?" Blah blah blah. I'm like, obviously they're gonna fucking explain it. Yeah. Like,
nope, he's there.
Like if he's just there, like they after asked, the movie,
I'm back.
Yeah, you can have a problem with that. But like, let's fucking watch the movie. Yeah, it's just I'm less concerned with Wonder Woman than I am with Ghostbusters, just because Ghostbusters you really don't have, like, you have the original two, but you're so far detached from that, and you know it's not gonna be those for sure.
Yeah,
so you don't know exactly what it's gonna be. This one, like, you have a better idea. Like, you know who the villain's gonna be. You know that Wonder Woman's a fucking G. You know,
villains.
Yeah, well, yeah.
It's directed by the same person.
Patty Jenkins, yeah.
So yeah, I'm not concerned.
Not concerned at all.
Like I said, it's just a poor. What trailer? We had one of these recently of just a horseshit trailer, but the movie was so fucking good. Like it happens.
I mean,
it does
way more.
It happened
often
with Wonder Woman the first time.
But I feel like there's one like recently that like within the past few months. But I might be wrong. I don't know. But yeah, it looks like there's too much going on. Like, I know Taj says it looks like they're air quotes borrowing a lot from like Thor Ragnarok and stuff. I'm like, and Guardians. I'm like, it's just 80s. Like, yeah. It's the vibe of it. Like, they're really leaning into the 80s thing. But all that weird shit, like in the first one, like the fight scenes, the weird fight scenes, the action sequences that we see in this trailer doesn't look good. But it's just like weird little snippets, like, you know, when she hits the bullet, like she pops the bullet and hits it. That scene doesn't look cool. But like, again, they did the same thing in the first movie where you saw a snippet of a fight scene and just that slow motion part where you could see how fast she's moving doesn't look good. It looks kind of corny, but when you see it in context with the whole fight scene, they usually put together a little bit better and they usually look pretty dope.
Yeah, because in the first one they used it as transition.
Yeah.
So you'd see her move slow, and obviously it's fast.
And she was
slow.
Like...
Yeah. And then you'd see her move fast, and you'd see her move slow.
Yeah, so that scene, like, the first thought is, like, when she pops the bullet out of the gun, and then she turns and she hits it, I'm like, that looks janky and weird. But if you imagine, like, she's just beating everybody's ass like in normal speed, and then it slows down for that scene and then cuts to normal speed again. Like, you could see how like that'll probably look a little bit better. So yeah, I didn't enjoy the trailer. It didn't get me like excited for the movie, but we have enough of this character or this actor portraying this character, and you're like, I kind of trust it a little bit. Mm-hmm. So I'm just gonna roll with it and hope the next trailer is better. And even if it's not, I'm still gonna see the movie. So
yeah. No, I agree that the trailer didn't do anything for me to be like, oh my God, this is going to be, you know, one of the best Wonder Woman movies, you know, out there. But it did intrigue me enough to be like, I knew Chris Pine was coming back, but like how he comes back and the fact that you actually see him in this first trailer already is like,
okay. And he's who he is.
He is definitely who he is. He knows who.
Because originally when they announced it, you're like, is he like somebody else?
Is this going to be like Winter Soldier type thing where he kind of forgets? Like, you know, how are we going to do this? But no, it seems like he's full on him, you know, and she obviously sees him for the first time in so many years. So he seems like he's going to be a pretty integral part to the plot, and he's going to be there for pretty much the whole entire thing. So that's what gets me interested. The feel of the actual trailer is I could take it or leave it. I again, with the whole kids thing from Ghostbusters, I feel like we've just had a lot of 80s stuff lately, and it's just, again, you kind of get a little bit sick of it because it's just like, okay, this is how the 80s was. Ha ha ha. Remember big hair, remember rolled up jackets and this and that, you know.
Jazzercise,
you know, that was the 80s and bright colors and stuff. And you're like, okay, I get it. You know, that's the 80s. We're fully set in the 80s. I didn't really necessarily need the trailer to have that 80s feel to know that it was in the 80s.
What makes me feel like okay about the movie is like there are scenes in the trailer where she's just talking.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like there's nothing like she's talking about like with what's-her-face's character. And she asks, have you ever been in love? And she's like, once.
Oh, Kristen Wiig.
Yeah, Kristen Wiig's character.
Cheetah.
Like, that scene is just a normal dialogue scene, you know what I mean? Like, there's other scenes in there where she's talking, or, like, when she's walking up to whatever that, like, I'm guessing some type of ball or something like that. Some kind of event that she's walking out of, and she's got the party gown thing on, and she looks all nice. Like, that doesn't look like overtly 80s, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's kind of a timeless like look. It really does seem like they're like, let's pack a lot of this 80s shit in this trailer.
Yeah,
but like if you really look at it, I don't feel like it's gonna be like hammered over the head in the movie. No. So
I need it just had the trailer itself, just the musical choice and the way that it was kind of certain scenes just felt.
I think the biggest issue was the music, honestly. Yeah, like I was watching, I was like, this song kind of sucks, but
yeah, it really did. I don't even remember what song it was. That's how forgettable it was. Let me think. What was I going to say then? The action sequences I didn't really have much of a problem with like you did, Mike. And that's probably mostly because I already know from the first movie
how they cut and stuff.
So it's like seeing that, I just like, oh, okay, that's just going to be part of an extended action sequence. So for me, that scene was like, oh, that seems kind of cool. Like, the anticipation of what's going to happen to it. She ejects it and is going to like fucking hit it.
And all I was saying, like, just out of
kill somebody off to the side, you know, type thing. Like, she's going to shoot literally a guy in the face.
Lost it now, then she just murders everybody.
Yes, right.
But she wants to do it with style, not with guns.
Exactly.
I'll crush your guns, but kill you with your own bullets.
Exactly.
I get you.
Why are you shooting yourself? Why are you shooting yourself? Why are you shooting yourself?
She's throwing bullets at him. You nerd.
She's just flicking him out of the cartridge.
Yes, right.
This is like has the magazine. She's.
So I think it's going to be fun. The trailer, like I said, it's not a great trailer, but I think it's going to be a fun movie. I'm definitely going to go see it, and hopefully we'll definitely enjoy it. Cody?
I really like the first movie. And it's not saying...
Remember how you felt about the first movie going into it, though?
Yes.
Well, I was excited to see
it. Shut up.
No, hold on.
That's revisionist
history. No.
You hated on that movie so fucking hard before you saw it.
Wait a fucking minute. Let me explain what I'm about to say.
Down on Gal Gadot.
Shut your fucking whore mouth.
Sorry, Gal Gadot.
Because by the time we went to see it, I already saw her in Batman vs. Superman, and I was like, she was the best part of that.
Yeah.
But I was going in the same way Mike was, where I was like, I don't know if this is going to be that good of a movie because we don't know what they're doing with it. But I was excited from what we saw in Batman v Superman. But I was very apprehensive. And I was like, this could be terrible. Because leading up to that, everything after Man of Steel was kind of terrible. Because of things like, well, nothing being good about most of it. So I was like, well, we'll see what happens. But yes, I was very down on it because I was like, the last few movies have not been great. So, yeah. But I did enjoy the first movie a lot. Mm-hmm. And I was excited about this one, confused about it ahead of time, because they're talking about Chris Pine coming back to play Steve Trevor. And I was like, well, obviously I'm going to have to explain why, because last time we saw him, he blowed up.
Yeah.
Which, all right, fine. If he jumped out right before it blowed up, maybe he got knocked out and he didn't know who he was, blah, 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 right?
This has got to be old man.
Thank you very much. In 84,
he would be
an old man. So it's like, clearly he's a man out of time. Yes. You can tell in this because he's young.
He doesn't know anything.
There you go.
There was very much so like, what was the scene? They were walking out somewhere.
The art thing.
Yeah. Everything is art.
That's a trash can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, trash can. Okay, yeah. But you can see, like, even he's confusing.
That's a nice dig at modern art. I like that dig. I was like, yeah, your art's good. Trash.
Yeah, yes. Modern and art is fucking trash.
Banana taped to the fucking wall. Fuck you.
Did you watch that clip?
Yeah.
So the guys last night at Wing Night didn't know about it, and I was like, yeah, that dude fucking, how much, was it like $11 million he spent on it or something like that?
Oh, I don't know. It was a lot.
He spent some stupid amount to buy a banana that's been duct taped to this fucking wall, and then he eats it.
That's fuck you rich.
Yeah.
That's fuck you rich.
I wish I was that rich.
Right? To buy a duct taped banana.
Since I can point out stupidity to people with my money. I'm like, oh, this is good art. We're going to fucking auction it off for this much.
On the flip side, good for that artist. He somehow tricked a dude into spending a ton of money.
But that's not good for that artist, because that artist was probably like, I put my soul into this. Fuck that guy. Duct tape banana to a wall. I guarantee
this artist was like, fuck these people. I'm going to duct tape a fucking banana to a wall. Call it art.
If that's what he did, I'm all for him.
Yeah.
If he thinks he actually made art, fuck him. I hope he loses all that money.
Yes. Okay, fair enough. Yes.
Yeah. Hope he eats it in spite. You eat my art, I'll eat your money. Yeah. Wait, what?
And then everybody's happy.
Yeah.
Like and everybody else.
Because then that artist dies of dysentery, and I'll be happy about it.
Money is filthy.
Yeah.
Money is definitely filthy.
Yeah. And you'd have to get, like, to eat it. He can't just eat, like, a bank receipt, right? He'd have to eat the actual cash.
Yeah, you know? we're talking about actual cash.
Yeah, so, like, yeah, he would die.
For sure.
Yeah. Before he finished it, most likely, but also he'd die.
Yeah.
Anyhow, so I did not care for this trailer. I thought it looked very wonky. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't the 80s thing. It wasn't the music. Because, as you both know, I love the 80s and I love 80s music.
Yes.
The thing that got me, though, was, to Mike's point, the action, air quotes. The fight scene where she goes slow. God, so loud, Joe. Jesus Christ. Like, you put it away from the microphone, but it's still loud enough. But he's so happy with himself too. It just seemed like, I don't want to say this to be mean, but it just seems like they didn't think of anything new to do with it, and they're just like, oh, this is what we do to show her fighting.
She's very fast.
Yeah, like they did in the first movie. They did it they didn't do it a lot in Batman v Superman because it didn't show that portion of it, but they did in the first movie. They did it in Justice League, and I really liked that opening scene in Justice League where you see her for the first time and she's stopping the hostage thing.
Right.
I thought that was really fucking cool. I was like, oh, that's a cool way to show. I mean, we saw obviously in the World War One part where in the first movie that's how we display her action, right? So I get it. That's the kind of the way to do it. I was hoping for more, and then the whole swinging from lightning bolts.
Oh, yeah, I forgot to talk about that, yeah. Is that a thing she can do?
I don't know. I don't know if it's... I've never read and, like, consistently read enough Wonder Woman stories other than, like, when key authors get on it, I'll read a bunch of it. Like, I read a bunch of the Geoff Johns stuff. I read the Grant Morrison... Well, Grant Morrison does the
worst part
really
about
bizarro...
The scene, too, was that in my mind, it turned into more of a joke. It was just like, man, yeah. She can really ride the lightning.
Yeah,
it was
like...
just like, Jesus Christ. It was just more of a joke scene to me.
I don't remember enough of Wonder Woman being able to use the lasso as, like, a mode of transportation. You know what I mean?
And speaking of which, the jet scene, it looks like a jet. Is it an invisible jet?
I think it's just her, because when she's running on the beach and she throws the lasso again, mm-hmm. and she like swings into the air on nothing. I have no idea. I was like, if they introduce an invisible jet, A, kudos to you, but B, what?
Right.
Like, where did she get an invisible jet in the 80s?
And why wasn't that in
there? And why didn't she have that in Justice League?
Yeah.
I mean, she fucking flies.
Are we retconning that?
Yeah. So...
are we just going to ignore Justice League now?
Like, Justice League technically hasn't happened yet, so maybe jet gets destroyed.
Going in forward, this movie. We're just going to ignore it.
I think it's more of a she's learning all the stuff she could do.
And
it's
I guess, like, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's but like when she hasn't gotten flight down yet.
When she's swinging from the...
I'm not going to lie. The ideal of using lightning as a mode of transportation was, like, kind of cool, though. I was like, when you just saw it, I was like... this could be janky as fuck, or it could be kind
of
cool.
Yeah. Like, I'd have to see more of it, like what's going on.
You have to see how it's used within a scene properly.
Yes.
But I think it could be fucking dope. Yeah. I wasn't mad at that.
There's a very good possibility that it could be absolutely cool.
There's a lot of things.
There's a great possibility that it might be fucking awful, too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. With the track record, like, especially since it looks like they're really changing how they're making the movie. Like, not just, like, obviously scenery and, like, setting, but it... from the scenes you saw, it looks like they're shooting it differently too. And obviously it's not a war movie, so like,
right.
But I was like, I don't know. Like, okay. Like, again, it's more of a teaser trailer than anything else. Cause they're not telling us really a story. They're kind of giving us here's a tease of all the people that are in it. All four of them. Yeah. I did like the whole gladiator like thing on Themyscira though. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was cool.
I was like, okay. Like, all right. So obviously just like the first one, they're going to use flashbacks to her growing up.
To add context to her, like what she could do and what she's capable of.
Like, because we got a little bit of it in the first one when she was little, and then when she was a little older, she's a fucking badass and like one of the greatest warriors of ever come out of, you know, her people.
And her people are dope as fuck because we learned that in Justice League.
Exactly, yeah. So like we know that like, oh, if they're this dope and she's the dopest of the dope, dang, you know what I mean?
That's a lot of dope.
That's a lot of dope. That's dope. Don't get excited, Mike. But like, so it's interesting to see, but like I'm the same boat, I think, as both of you, is I'm going to see it. I just hope it's not a train wreck.
No.
Cause it could be very likely could be.
Yeah.
But I'm going to be standing on the side of half full, just like I am going to be with Ghostbusters. Like I want it to be good.
If you give me like reason to think it's gonna be good, I'll think it's gonna be good until it's not. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like Wonder Woman has been fucking dope. How they used her has been awesome so far. So if they shit the bed in this one, it's gonna be a bummer. I don't see how they would at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, they could. They totally could, but I'm definitely gonna err on the glass half full side until they give me a reason to think this character is gonna suck in a movie. Cause like, again, because we're talking about DC and we get comparative with like Marvel, like the more I've like Captain Marvel is terrible. Like the more I think about it, like especially comparative to like the rest of the Marvel movies, like I think it's easily the worst one. I don't think it's terrible in a way like, oh my god, like, I can't believe
absolutely bad movie.
But like comparative,
it's the worst of the best.
Yeah, but it's not even, like, I wouldn't even label it as good if I wasn't comparing it. I'd be like, oh, it was all right. You know what I mean? But, like, so, like, the next Captain Marvel movie, I'm not, like, excited about it. Like, they're gonna have to fucking kill the trailer. They're gonna have to, like, really add some significance to it and to make me care about it. With Wonder Woman, like, the movie was good. Like, the movie was really good. And the way she was used in the other movies was really good. So, like... well, what you do with the trailer, like, I've seen context
already.
You've built
up equity already.
Yeah, like, you have some of that. I'm going to go see that. Mm-hmm. Again, Captain Marvel, if, like, the next Captain Marvel trailer, whenever they get around to it, is like this, and it's like, what the fuck is going on?
You're
going to
wait.
I'm going to be like, I'm not opening weekend for sure. I'm not going to go watch it. I might wait if the reviews are, like, if people I trust are like, no, it's like, the trailer was weird, but this movie's really good. I might go see it, but, like, because the movie was good, like, you can get away with having a shitty trailer.
Yeah.
The movie wasn't so good, I'm gonna be like, oh, I don't know about these bad trailers, you know?
Yeah.
So we're gonna rapid fire through these next few. Six Underground, the Michael Bay Netflix movie. Yeah,
this would be a fun brainless watch, which is cool.
I kind of wish it was in theaters to watch it on the big screen.
Though. Nah, not me.
I do.
I don't even care. The one thing I'm worried about, and this is like a like almost a side conversation, is like I'm worried about like Ryan Reynolds just becoming like the funny action guy.
Yeah.
And just doing funny action movies. It's just
Ryan Reynolds in all of his movies.
Yeah. Cause like there's a moment where like Chris Pratt was just kind of being Chris Pratt and everything, and like it's cool, like as long as the movies are fun, but I feel like he's gonna have to like step away from that at some point, because I really don't wanna feel like
it's great if he does Deadpool 2, 3, 4, 5, yeah, and that's the same.
But if he does like Six Underground and it's just like Deadpool hasn't died yet.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like it's gonna be kind of weird.
This is before he gets the cancers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, if it's a prequel, I'm like, what the fuck?
I don't think I probably will hit that point with Ryan Reynolds in his acting if he's just playing the same.
I'm not there yet.
You're just worried that it's coming.
Yeah. Like you're looking at it, and it's like the Hitman Bodyguard, which is like a little bit different, but it's still a funny action movie.
Yeah.
Six Underground, obviously the Deadpool movies.
You got the Free Guy coming out.
Which is like another one. It's different enough where you're like, well, it's a video game. So
if you still strip it down,
he's the funny action guy.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay.
But to
be fair, I mean, he's got a lot of dope shit that's not funny action stuff. Like Safe House was fucking amazing. Yeah. Like I really like Safe House. Yeah. Nobody talks about it.
Selfless, not amazing.
Yeah. And he makes bad movies too. He's just like us.
He's human?
Yeah. He's human.
Oh, Mike. We've yet to make a good movie.
Well, so we've yet to make a bad movie.
That's true.
I've made a bad movie.
Well, we collectively.
Yeah.
Yeah. Comes naturally. A production company has not made a bad movie yet.
At all.
That's true.
We've just not made movies at all.
Well,
hey.
Semantics.
No.
But we've not made a bad one. So
that's very true, too.
We're 100%. Just because we're bad.
I just hope like the next Ryan Reynolds movie is just like a flat out comedy.
Full
or like
penetration.
A dark, gritty, like drama, or you know what I mean. Like I just want like the next one to be something different, like a little palate cleanser.
It's something different than a comedy action movie.
Yeah,
gotcha.
Comedy,
I agree.
Comedy
I agree.
Drama
I'd like
movie.
To see him
but
more.
He's fucking you.
Comedy,
you
drama,
also
Jesus
you
Christ.
Get a small.
This is so.
A dramedy so movie.
Depressed.
But to be fair, like you get a small window of being able to play these things, and he's riding the fuck out of it right now, which is him. It's like You make these movies while you still can, because at some point he's going to be like 55 and not be able to get in that kind of shape and do that kind of action. You know what I mean?
Shut your whore mouth.
That's so. True. How old's The Rock?
Well, he's different.
He's different?
Yeah.
How old's Tom
Cruise?
How old's Tom Cruise?
Well, Tom Cruise is a...
Vampire?
But like,
he just...
Alien vampire?
No, he's...
Alien vampire robot?
He's just an alien. Yeah. Okay, that's fair, I guess.
The last batch of movies he's made, though, are action movies. But Tom Cruise also had that long run of random shit.
Yeah, he made some weird shit.
Yeah. You know, he made the what's that baseball? Well, he's the agent.
Show me the money.
Jerry Maguire. I don't know why I couldn't think
baseball
of the name.
Movie.
He's the
there's a baseball player.
Yeah,
football.
It's like,
more football than anything.
Yeah, I mean, it's
but
main
the baseball
character.
Player was like the one I was thinking of because that's how the movie starts.
Okay.
But,
started with a football player.
Was it? I thought it was a. Oh no!
Jerry O'Connell really played a
football player.
Star quarterback
that's right.
in college. Yeah.
I don't remember baseball in that whole movie at all. But okay.
There's a baseball player.
There's a baseball player
for sure because it's a full-on sports agency.
Yes,
I think those are mostly Jay Moore's agents or clients, though.
Yeah, that might be. Anyway. It's been a long time since.
Anyway, let's watch Jerry Maguire and find out what that shit's all about, huh?
Or not.
It's about loving Renee Zellweger.
Ew. So Free Guy, obviously, we talked a little about that.
Still, with all that being said, I want to see it. like I really want to see Free Guy.
Yeah.
It looks fucking hilarious.
There's a book that I read a while ago called Mogworld that's exactly this, except it takes place in more of a World of Warcraft type universe.
Yeah.
It's written by the guy who does Zero Punctuation. I was spacing out on his name all of a sudden.
Yeah, hard book to read.
Just one long fucking sentence.
Right?
He's like,
just rambles on the whole entire time.
There's no commas.
Yeah.
There's one period.
At the very end.
On page 307.
I only like to read chapter to chapter every night, but god damn it.
But there's no chapters?
There's no chapters. It just keeps going. No, it's the exact same thing, and I found that premise to actually be really cool in the book and really funny and fun. So hopefully, you know,
there's a lot of cool shit you could do with that idea. What is funny though is I showed that trailer to Jen without realizing that Jen doesn't play video games. Uh-huh. She's like, "What the fuck is this movie about?" I'm like, "It's a good question because you don't play you stopped playing video games at Sega, so it's like, all right, Yeah, if you're not into video games, you're going to be kind of confused. And I just didn't even think about that until she was like, what the fuck? I was like, all right, well, that might be weird for people.
Yeah,
true.
The thing that Ryan Reynolds said before anybody saw any footage for it, I think it was at... This is the trailer they showed at New York Comic Con before they didn't release to anybody else. But he said as introducing, is like, imagine Ready Player One... But you're the it's focusing on the guy you shot.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And then watching this trailer, I'm like, this dude fucking nailed that shit.
Yeah.
Like nailed that shit like perfectly. I was like, that's exactly what this is. He just plays a guy, literally, who is just an NPC that in all likelihood gets shot a bunch of times. Obviously we don't see him get shot in this trailer. But he
gets robbed a bunch of times. Yeah. You can tell that.
Yeah. Instantly. So like, you know, it's one of those things where like the player choice is I want to shoot this teller, he shoots the teller, that teller dies. Boom, there it is. But he gets reset. And I think the funny thing is when he's walking to work and the guy gets thrown through the window.
Right.
And he picks him up, he's like, this is another day, and he's like, yeah, you got that guy. Yeah. And he like walks back in the broken window. I was like,
the part that killed me the most is when they robbed the bank for the first time and the security guard just dropped the belt and they both lay on the floor. The way Ryan Reynolds like kicks his feet up as he's talking to him.
Yeah.
I was like, he's so calm and relaxed. I was like, that's so
your funny. That's your boy.
Little something.
From, little Ray, right? From Get Out. Get and, Out.
Is that him?
Uncle, yeah. And Uncle, what's the basketball movie?
Uncle Drew.
Uncle Drew. That I still haven't watched.
Me either.
I think it's even available for me to watch on one of the many services I have. So yeah, it was Free Guy. Mulan. We didn't talk about Mulan. The Boys season 2 teaser is nothing to talk about because it's like almost nothing. But it's exciting because, you know, The Boys, and The Boys are so good.
Oh yeah, definitely.
But Mulan, what do you think? What do you think of the Mulan? This will be the last one we talk about. But what do you think of the Mulan trailer?
It does look like the probably the best movie to pull into live action.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It looks like a really good movie. The only thing that makes it weird is if you're a fan of Mulan, you're like, how do you fit Mushu into this?
Not just that, but how do you fit Kiki, her cricket?
Yeah. Well,
is Mushu even confirmed to be in the movie?
No.
No, he's not.
Not confirmed, but it is he's been listed as. He will be featured in the movie.
Because what I understood is that
could be anything at that point.
Character of Mushu
is going to be a person
in Asian cultures, and take this with a grain of salt because this was a YouTube video that I was watching about, I don't even remember now really, but it was a guy from Japanese culture that was like, that character was like comparable to a Jar Jar Binks is what he said for Star Wars, that in Asia they didn't care for that character at all. So if you're trying to pull
in comic relief,
if you're trying to pull in those that you know those numbers within Asia, China and whatnot specifically, you might want to get rid of the character that people considered that they didn't like.
Also, it's been like years since I've seen the animated version, the animated movie. Was he seen by anybody else? Could anyone else see Mushu?
Not that I recall. No.
Like it was just her, right?
Yeah. Because that was some her ancestral something or other.
Yeah, like it was a link to like her past or whatever, right?
So she could only see him. Yeah.
So you could do it still.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering.
It doesn't look like the vibe of this movie is right for it, though.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, there's a lot less comedy.
This looks
more
Last Samurai than it does. Yeah. You know, right? Like a comedy.
Yeah.
Like because I remember even
it looks like a really good movie though. It looks like like a cool epic adventure movie.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks like they're going to go And again, I haven't seen the new Lion King, but I think in the Lion King, there's pockets of the humor, and much similar to like the Jungle Book, even,
yeah,
which was amazing. They had a little bit of the humor. Well, I mean, with the Baloo, that was like basically all the humor. The rest of it was real fucking dark.
Yeah,
like real goddamn dark. And I'm, this seems that more. There may be like some funny things that go on, like, but in the trailer you didn't really see much other than the fact like she was able to use a bow and everyone's like, "Book."
It seemed to hit, the trailer seemed to, and I'd have to go back and watch the trailers from the original Mulan. It seemed to hit a lot of those scenes or cadence that that I would think the original trailers hit for Mulan. Because you're basically telling the story of it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
In this trailer.
But yeah, there's a, the aesthetics of this movie.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, I was like, okay, like, wow.
Yeah.
You know, like everything, like just like the costumes, like everything. I was like, all right, well, this is like, they literally brought it to life, like more so than Jungle Book and Lion King did. And even more so than Aladdin.
Well, I think this would be the easiest thing to do.
Well, yeah, as Mike was saying, is like, it's kind of the most realistic of all of them. Yeah.
You know, outside of those couple little characters, people are like, where are those? But like, the story is a real story. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like saying, again, live action Lion King. It's not really a live action Lion King. It's a CGI. You know what I mean? Like,
none of them
this is actual live action.
Yeah. So it's interesting. But yeah, I was really impressed by that trailer. I was like, okay. Yeah.
Right.
That's exactly what I was hoping it would be.
Yeah.
And not saying the other ones weren't. I'm just saying this one was like, all right, like, this one looks exactly how I've always wanted one to look, and they did it. Like, they did it really, really well. And I was like, all right, well, excellent job, guys.
Yep.
Excellent job. But yeah, that's all I have. That's all the trailers from this week. Anything else?
Nah.
No.
I'm good.
We're 3 days away from Expanse.
Yeah.
Season 4.
Yep.
3 days. Yep.
In case anybody was wondering why we're not talking about The Mandalorian, it's like, at this point, we're just going to have to wait till it's over to get any answers to go over. The episodes are cool, but we're not learning anything.
Not learning anything at all.
But they're fun to watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're amazing, but it's like, we're not getting anywhere.
The only thing is, like, at the end of this last episode, whatever walked over the dead body
and
started to crouch down, like, I'm guessing that's going to be an answer or a clue. I don't know, though.
Yeah.
We only have, what, three more episodes? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Crazy.
Yep. I'm not going to bring up Watchmen because Joe's still salty.
I'm not salty about it. It's just the last couple of episodes, the way you end it is just like, go fuck yourself. Don't end it like that.
They don't give a fuck about anybody.
And then the same thing is happening in Man in the High Castle, where I literally have one episode left and I'm like, you're gonna tie up all of this in one episode? No, you're not.
A kid with autism is gonna wake up in a hospital looking at a snow globe.
With the snow globe, right?
But it's like, it's gonna be like,
because it's still hard to believe that this is the final season. This is it. So the next episode is just done. That's it.
Yeah, I haven't watched any of season 4 yet, but like the way season 3 ends, you're like,
they just keep building on it.
Yeah, you're like, this, like, 3 doesn't end. 3 just stops.
What happens in the second to last episode is just fucking mind blowing. But now you're saying that you're going to wrap this up in the last episode. I guarantee you're not going to wrap it up. It's going to be left with just a...
It's going to do what the book did.
And then they lived.
Like, the book, it just ends with...
It just ends with a door opening.
And yeah.
You're like, hi, I'm the man in the high castle. Bye.
That's why they call it that.
Anyway. Yeah.
Curse splat. Yeah, that's it for this week's episode, everybody. Comes naturally, we are.
Joe.
Mike.
I am Cody, and as usual, you fuckers just came naturally. Off.